Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 5 and 6. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Occasionally, I begin a sermon with an introduction. I didn't wear my name tag this morning, like many of you are disciplined enough probably to do that, but my name is Jim, and I'm a sinner in recovery, and if you're okay with that, I'll keep talking. The one thing that is so awkward and just really doesn't have a lot of integrity to it is that so many congregations, at least subconsciously, have to have pastors or preachers that are on some kind of pedestal, and we fall right off. But, well, it's windy. But anyway, there's times we're all human. And as best I can discover in the Holy Scripture is God only calls human beings to be disciples. And I'm looking around, and I believe we all qualify. And then out of that group, I would say in my case, God has a sense of humor, and he called me into the ministry. And some of my old drinking buddies from high school and early days of college were shocked. And I said, "You ought to give it a try." And because there had been a time in my life when I'd been in more bars and taverns than I'd ever been in sanctuaries or churches. And you need to understand that God doesn't order the people that are pastoring and clergy and whatever out of a catalog somewhere. God reaches into some interesting situations and calls people forward. Because you see, as the text this morning reminded us, the tomb's empty. There's nobody in there except the people that come in to see if somebody's in there. There's a tradition that goes way back that inside the tomb, where Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, some way or another, caught Pontius Pilate in one of the rare moments when he actually had his heart and his head together, and they probably begged him for the body of Jesus. And they laid him in that tomb. And then thinking that they were going to, the authorities of that day were going to be in charge. You know, we're not in charge of much. But anyway, they rolled this humongous rock over the entrance, thinking they had sealed it. And then, as the text said, you know, women are the very foundation and backbone of the church, and occasionally they let us guys participate. This is free. You did probably wouldn't hear that anywhere else. But so they show up with their burial gifts and preparation. And they're standing there. I mean, go there in your own mind. And that rock is rolled away. Somebody probably has written a song about that. But and they're standing there, and finally curiosity gets the best of them, and let's don't pretty this up, okay? And finally one of them says, I'll go in if you'll go in. And so they step in, and they encounter what some have recorded as angels. And my brother and I were having, he's 92, and he and I were not having an argument, but he said, you know, all angels are men. I told him, his wife, Charity, I said, you're probably in danger. men, and I said, maybe they're not either one. Because, see, we have to take God and fit God down into whatever human box intellect that we might have so that we can, honestly, we can be in charge. And that never, ever works. So they're standing there, and the Holy Presence, the angels, whatever you want to call these two that are in there, and they say, and I'm giving you I always give you the Texas translation, and then if you want to take it back to the Arabic or the Hebrew or the Greek or whatever, that's your business. But anyway, they said, "What are you doing here?" You see, I don't know if this would be good or not. When we leave here in a little bit, wouldn't it be something if there are people here in the park, it'd be this beautiful park, if they come up to some of us and say, what were you all doing in there? What were you all doing in there? So you might ought to start thinking about what you're going to tell them. So they say, well, what are you doing? And they can tell they've got things to prepare the body. And they're just standing there holding all of this. What? Why are you looking for the living in a tomb where a dead body's supposed to be? He's not here. He's risen. And so, a couple of Sundays ago, you know, we were all stirred up, and, you know, the place was standing room only pretty much, and it was true in a lots and lots and lots of gatherings of Christian folks and people, seekers or whatever. And we sang, and, oh, we just had a big time. But then, as you heard in the children's moment, you know, Easter is more than a date on a calendar. It's the energy, that it's the wind and the sails that carries us. Not off on the rocks where we crash, but out into the deep channel. And carries us on the way closer to God. That Easter is many things. It's the experience that helps us wake up of a morning and realize, my goodness, what a gift, another new day. Or we're in the middle of some kind of a crisis or something, and all of a sudden we get a chance to breathe a little bit. Thanks be to God. And all of that's going on, and these women are standing there, sort of halfway in the tomb and halfway out. Somebody asked me several years ago when I was preaching full time, they said, Pastor Jim, and I knew something was coming. They said, Pastor Jim, have you ever been to Jerusalem, and have you stood there outside that tomb? Have you walked in the steps of Jesus? They didn't realize that I was setting them up. But I said, well, no, but I have walked in the footsteps of Christ on East Lancaster in downtown Fort Worth. See, that's where this is going. You see, this isn't a history book. This is the living word of God, people. And God didn't stop with the last paragraph, the last sentence, the last period or whatever of the book of Revelation. God is, hello? God is in the house. That hopefully coming here is not just a habit. And that church can be anywhere. You know, the scripture that says where two or three are gathered in my name, there. Well, in the United Methodist Church, they form a committee. and I think, oh, my goodness. And I was going through some, I guess it was texts or emails. I don't remember, in his attachment. And one of my preacher buddies said, you got to see this. And it was a little video, and I punched on it. And it was a story about the crucifixion. It was only just about 3 minutes long. But I'm telling you what, it knocked your spiritual socks off. And I was watching and listening, and it was about the thief next to Jesus, that, I mean, the death was all over the place. And it was cloudy and the windy, and it was just a yucky kind of day. And there they were, the three of them, hanging on those crosses. They'd already nailed them. And this thief, scoundrel, whatever you want to call him, guilty as he could be, and he knew it, but he said, Would there be any way, and here's the Texas translation, would there be any way that I could be with you in this paradise you're talking about? And Jesus said, come on. And then the theologians all run and get the text and start researching all the steps that Jesus jumped over. I mean, this guy's hanging on a cross. He's guilty as he could be. And Jesus says, come on. And so he gets to paradise. He gets to heaven, and he's standing there, and one of the angels come up and said, what are you doing here? So get ready for that. What are you doing here? And in his own humble way, with not a whole lot of theology around it, he said, the man in the middle cross said I could come. I could come. And I can't even find the words to tell you how freeing and enabling and empowering that is. And I do believe on that day, that night, whenever it is that we meet the Lord Jesus, he's not going to ask how many days we attended perfect worship or Sunday school. Those are all important. Don't you leave here saying, Pastor Jim said, I don't have to go to Sunday school. I did not say that. You all watching on live streaming, I did not say that's not where I'm going. He's going to say, how long did you spend sitting down on the floor reading to a little kid? Now, I believe that's what's coming. I believe that's what's coming. How long did you spend trying to make a friend or somebody feel comfortable? How long did just goes on about this. And in a lot of ways, he hadn't asked one religious question. He's wanting to know, you know, people sometimes ask me if I'm saved. And I say, well, if you're serious about that, you need to spend some time with me, because for me to just tell you yes, you can fake that. I know none of you do, but you could do that. But you see, there's a saying that I picked up at a seminar. Some of you have been to seminars, like preachers go to a lot of seminars. And it said, the big great commission is to go into all the world and, you know, preach the gospel and share the love of God with people and tell people about Jesus. And if necessary, I don't see anybody taking notes. If necessary, use words. Use words. Show people Jesus. Don't just walk up to somebody and hammer them with. When I first converted to Christianity, and I'm not proud of this at all, I've cornered people and I started, I'm not going to say that in here, but anyway, I scared something out of them. But then finally I realized what this is about. It's sharing the love of God with people. You don't ask, are you a Republican or a Democrat? You know, the other day, and I told somebody, I said, you know, I would like to send Donald Trump to charm school, but I can't afford it. And then here comes Pope Leo, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, both of these guys, and they probably make you great next door neighbors. I mean, Pope Leo is a baseball fan. I mean, you can't get much better than that. But here they are going at one another. And I'm thinking, fellas, come on. And that's my prayer, is somewhere or another that they will realize that there's evil in this world. If you've not run into that yet, you will. And it has to be dealt with. And it may not be pretty, but I'll do the best I can with it. And unless God is going to intercede some way, I got to do the best I can with it. And that's why I always vote, and I always urge everybody to vote. We sometimes cancel one another's votes out, but I can't look a veteran in the eye if I haven't voted. And the freedoms of this country are so precious. Now, some will go out of there, and some watching on live stream say, you know, I knew he was going to bring in politics. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about the heart and the mind of people. We need to be given more hugs and caring about people like what's on this stole here. We need to spend more time listening to one another. But that also means that there are times when we just got to pull together and deal with evil in the world, because it's not going away by itself. And you say, I didn't know Pastor Jim could get all that out of two women standing looking in an empty tomb. Well, there's more, but it'll be another time. But so they turn around and they go running back. Well, you've read the story. See, part of the problem with this text and texts around it in the other Gospels is we're so familiar with it. Familiarity breeds indifference. We've become so familiar with it that we cease to really hear it. We just hear it with our ears, and it never gets in here. So Easter is more than just a date on a calendar. It is It enables us to be the Easter people. Sometimes I really think we ought to be called the Easter people, and not, you know, we're Christian or what. You know, people mess around with that all kinds of ways, mostly to exclude other people. I've had people tell me that their baptism wasn't recognized by a certain church because you had to be baptized in that church. And I'm thinking, oh, give me a life. you're just going to have that. So in a little bit, after we take up an offering, I think, but in a little bit, you know, we're going back out there, and I'm telling you, somebody may corner you and say, what y'all doing there? It could be a little child. It could be a teenager. It could be somebody whose marriage is on the rocks and things are just hanging by a piece of tape. It could be somebody that has thought, I don't want to live anymore. It could be somebody that's thinking, you know, I've been hearing about this Jesus, but I don't really know him. Do you know him? We can start sweating here a little bit. And so the women have come back out of that tomb. But now that was, you know, 2,000 years ago. We got to be careful with this because it can become just a book that's put in the history section, and that's not where this belongs. It belongs in here, in our hearts. People say, well, what translation should I read? Find one that you can understand. The scholarship is so good nowadays, there's many translations. Just get one, and don't just put it on the coffee table. That was supposed to be funny. So they've come out of that tomb, and some of us are thinking, well, I didn't know all that was there. Well, just go there. Every one of us in this room and everybody watching on live streaming right now, you see, anywhere in the world that somebody's got a computer, they can tune into this. Well, let's make the most of all this. Because we all got to go to that empty tomb that's in our mind and our heart. You don't have to go on the other side of the world. Cruise directors don't like to hear that. But anyway, the empty tomb is whatever your situation is, whatever that might be. When my wife Donna passed away last October, we were able to work through that, she and I, because of the empty tomb. Empty tomb. He's not in there. He's alive. And so we come to a time, and I think I've done that in here before, and it's called the Jesus cheer. And you can pick up on it. Any of you that have been to any kind of athletic contest and with the cheerleaders and all that kind of stuff, it's that kind of energy. All people can do this. So here we go. We've come out of that empty tomb. We realize that he's not in there, that he's alive. We lit the candles. The acolyte is going to come up here in a little bit and take that back out in the world because he is the light of the world. So give me a J.
J. Ooh.
Wow. Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S. Ooh.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me another S.
S.
What does it spell?
Jesus.
Oh, let's just give God a hand of praise.